Today we have a very exciting guest. She is someone that I have known for over 13 years. We met when we were babies in college, and obviously a lot of life has happened since then, and it has been so exciting to see. Natalie Birkbach is the creative director and owner of the production company We Are Vibe House. Born in the Midwest and crafted in New York City, Vibe House is a full-service production house led by a group of badass women. They are storytellers on a mission to create full-scale luxury photo and video productions for ambitious brands and help them level up with the most striking and strategic brand visuals in the game. She has worked with brands like Jenna Kutcher, Pebby Frevy, and much more. We can't wait to dive into today's episode and hear more about Natalie and what led her to living this incredible dream.
Welcome to the Skin Distillery Lounge, the podcast by estheticians for estheticians. I'm Mel.
And I'm Emily. We're here to change the game for fellow estheticians who are ready to bring their business to the next level.
Our mission is simple. We want to transform mindsets and create systems that lead to more freedom and wealth in the treatment room.
Tune in every week as we dive into how to grow your confidence, wealth, success, mindset, and vision as we grow our own.
Whether you are a seasoned or new esthetician, this podcast is your go-to source for education, resources, and relatability.
Cheers to changing mindsets, creating systems, and building community. Let's dive into another episode of the Skin Distillery Lounge.
Welcome!
Hi, Natalie!
Hey, girl! To all our listeners, we've already been chatting for like 10 minutes of chaos, technical differences in life.
And we just laugh when we talk to her. So
I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a great episode. We are super pumped to have you, Natalie. Thank you for being here.
Yay!
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
So to kick off this episode, it's Friday. We are going to dive into the Aperito Spritz.
Hello. Woo.
It's a ready-to-serve Aperol Spritz, and Emily and I love a good Aperol Spritz. So
Natalie's joining us with a coffee.
She does have one to share when she's feeling like it, but it is early.
So now I kind of want to take it out.
Well,
sober who? Not me. Hold on.
An Aperol Spritz is a very low alcohol content drink.
Yeah.
So
we love this. Oh yeah.
You know,
I love it.
Surprisingly not bad for a pre-made.
No, it tastes really good.
If you had this for a picnic, it'd be cute because you don't want to bring all the stuff.
Yes. Okay, but my question is, what's the difference between an Aperito and an Aperol?
It's the same.
It's the same thing.
I think it's just like
how it's said.
Okay. Should we Google it?
Let's Google it.
Okay, I'm Googling it now. Aperito
versus Aperol.
So, I don't know.
I think it's the same.
That's okay. What I figured.
That's good to know. Sometimes you don't know, though.
Yeah, I think it's the same.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Good All right, to know. Now we know.
Then Natalie's joining us. She's filling up hers right now as we speak.
Woo-hoo!
You can't... You can't feel too bad, Natalie, because an Aperol Spritz is a very low alcohol volume drink. Yes. Because Aperol is a very low, and then there's club soda, which is nothing, and then a little Prosecco.
Yeah, it's fine. It's good. Cheers, you guys.
Cheers. Okay.
Oh, man, this is good. Also, y'all need some freaking, like, alcohol sponsors.
Yeah, we do. Thank you.
Thank you.
We agree.
I was like, is this the plan? Is this the plan? Because... It's a good one.
It would all line full circle.
One day, maybe.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
All right. So, Emily, what are we talking about today with Natalie?
What are we talking about? Actually, the question is, what aren't we talking about?
True.
So, we are turning this conversation into a two-part series. So, this interview is part one. And this is just us getting to know Natalie. Obviously, we know Natalie, but you as the listeners might not know her. So... She has an insane story. Like, when I think about your life, Natalie, it's like you need to write a book. You need to have a podcast. Like, there is so much about who you are that so many people could relate with on the most random levels.
Plus, you have an energy that just, like, magnetate. Like, people want to be around you.
Yes. You make everyone feel
You're so sweet.
The greatest people in the world. So we are just really thankful that we have the opportunity to know you. And like I said in the intro, I've known you for almost 13 years now.
which is crazy. So seeing the evolution of who you were when I met you until who you are now is really special to me. And I'm really honored to have, you know, been in close spaces, but then also seeing you from far away as well. And yeah, it's been amazing. So really proud of you, Natalie.
Same to you guys. Like, I feel like we've both gotten to see each other's journeys and it's really fucking wild. I don't know how y'all do it. I feel like you guys have your shit together in a way that I could never.
I don't know. I
know. No. I have my shit together because Mel has hers together.
I am the organizer of our chaos.
Natalie, you and I both need people like Mel to keep us going. And we know that. So it's okay.
Yeah. Really quick. What are your guys' signs?
I'm Aquarius.
I'm a Taurus.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm a Libra, but my three main, actually all four of my main team members are all earth signs. Mm-hmm. Like three of them are Capricorns. Capricorns, they be built different. Okay. Like
they really are.
I could never, but yeah. They keep my shit on lock and I basically need them in order to like keep things going.
Yeah. Also, I have ADHD. Do you have ADHD? Yes.
Yes, I do.
Yes. Okay. So that's partly, you know,
why the struggle is real.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People have no idea.
Truly. Mel, you don't though, right?
I don't know. I feel like sometimes.
Not a chance.
Emily.
Not a chance. You have ADHD.
I think I was very.
Please, no way.
I think I was very intense. Like, I'm a very, like, if I get something in my head, like, if I want our service menu redone, I fucking go on to like a manic 24 hour, like, the service menu gets done within 24 hours. Like, I'm a very, like, if I have my mind set to something, mm-hmm. I'm very, like, it's freaking getting done. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this year I reduced my studio hours and I'm cold plunging now and I feel like I'm just more calm. I do, which I'm trying to like get some more peace because I am like a very like, I can never sit still. So I'm mm-hmm. trying to give myself more quiet time to be creative. And I think it's really healthy.
Good job.
I feel happier.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can tell.
That's good. Mm-hmm. It could be my dog too. It's testing my patience also. He's like a child. So
you have to learn to calm down with the dog.
Yeah. He calms me also.
They're like eternal toddlers. They're low-key the best and the worst all at the same time.
Exactly. He's like so sweet at nighttime when he's sleepy and calm. And then he's also like a psycho at the same time.
He's also a puppy.
Yeah. But we love him.
Also, yeah. Mm-hmm. Puppies.
Yes. So,
okay. Let's just like dive into all of this. So.
Ready.
Natalie Birkbach, tell us just like a little bit about who you are, and then we'll kind of
guide you along.
Yeah, go into the nitty gritty.
This is good. I feel like I really need to like have someone write out how I should answer these questions. I'm like, where do I start?
Exactly.
I was a girl that was born in Minnesota, and like, okay, so can you help me? Which part should I focus on?
So obviously, you're born in Minnesota. You have a really big family.
Yes. Okay. So I was kids. You what?
You're one of how many kids?
Oh yeah, I'm one of six. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yes, grew up in Minnesota. I come from a really big family. I have five siblings, so I'm one of six. I grew up pretty conservative.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big part of my story. I thought I was going to be working in a church and be a stay-at-home wife while I work at the church. That was how I envisioned my life rolling out. I got married very young. What?
That's when I met you, was in that stage.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nick in Minnesota?
What was that?
Did you meet Nick in Minnesota?
Yeah, we met in church. So I met Nick when I was 15. We met at youth group. He dated my friend first. We became best friends. Then we dated. Then I broke up with him on and off. And then got back together with him when I was like 21. And we were like married within the year. He was in the military. So that's pretty normal.
Yes.
Normal for military. I look back and I'm like, how was I legally allowed to get married as a child?
I know. You were a child bride.
You were.
Yeah. I always joke about that. And sometimes the joke does not land because people are like, that's awful to say. And I'm like, I'm sorry. But I look back and I'm like, what? I was 22.
Yes.
I had no idea what I was getting into. And then the next day, our honeymoon, quote unquote, was road tripping with 8 of our friends across the country the next day. That's to move me to Washington to be alone in like this little military culture that I had no idea what it was like. Like it's just bizarre looking back on life. But I am still married to the dude. His name is Nick. 10 out of 10 dude. Best friend.
Nick is awesome.
He's so dope. I feel like I lucked out.
You did.
Like, you guys grew together.
Yeah. Because
anyone
else in that situation, you would not still be married.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially like we met in church.
Yeah.
Got married when I thought I would be like, be working in church. And then I ended up deconstructing my faith. And he wasn't at that point yet. And then like a few years after I did, he was like, oh yeah, I'm actually not a Christian either. And I'm like, oh shit.
Here we are.
So.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's an interesting journey.
A really big part of your story. And I know that that can be really vulnerable to like open up about, especially where you are now. But I really appreciate you being honest about that because I think a lot of people can relate to that part of life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just figuring all of that out. And so you got married, you moved to California or to Washington.
But then you moved to California.
Yes, eventually moved to California because he got stationed at Camp Pendleton. And then when he was getting out, it was kind of like we had this, like I felt like, because at that point we were in our mid-20s.
Were you working right now, Natalie? Like, or what were you doing for work right now?
Yeah, I was nannying.
Okay.
And I tried so many different like creative things because I always was like, I wish I could be creative, but I never thought I was. But I always wished I was. I always tell people, I'm like, if you think that, you most likely actually are creative. You just haven't, like, no one is just, like, born an artist, like, a perfect creative. Like, that's something that is built and created by creating. So, like, but in my head, I would just see my friends who seemed like they were just naturally creatively inclined. And I was like, oh, they're creative, but I'm not, but I wish I was. So I would like start a blog and then I'm like, I mean, ADHD, this is very common. Like I just ordered like $300 worth of candle making stuff.
Cause why not?
Seems like and perfume stuff. Like
if you have time to candle make. It's fine.
Listen, we're living on a prayer here. It's fine. Where was I going with that? See, this is why I'm like...
You were nannying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was nannying.
You wished you were creative.
Yeah. So I like started a blog. That didn't stick. I got a camera to like try photography. That didn't stick. And he was getting out. There was this creative conference and it was like all women. And I'm like, man, that seems really dope. I don't know if I would really like fit in there or whatever, but I wanted to go. And I think it had happened like a year or two. And then they opened up scholarships and you had to write in like your story of why you wanted to go. At that time, we were like poor. Like, I think the tickets were only $200 or something, which back then
was a lot of money.
So much money for me. So much money. Like, I was nannying for like $15 an hour.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I won the scholarship. So I got to go. And before that, we were talking about like, okay, military, he's getting out. This is like our fresh beginning in our mid-20s. Like who gets a chance to basically like literally restart your life over after like having this big commitment. So we had like two main dreams. We were like, it'd be so dope to live in a van and like get to travel and then be so dope to move to New York City. And New York City was always the goal. Mm-hmm. So then Nick was like, well, I should try to find something realistic that will help us because neither of us have a bachelor degree. Mm-hmm. So we also were like, oh shit, what do we do? Because neither of us can actually like make money. And we were like, it'd be nice not to be poor our whole lives. That would be sick. So he's like, I'll go to school for some like really specific engineering. And I'm thinking to myself, that's kind of weird. You're not really a school person, but whatever. There's not a lot of places with that program. So he finds this place, a university in Philadelphia. And we're like, okay, well, that's like close enough to New York. Like, it's close enough. I go to this conference and I come back and I'm like, we are not supposed to move to Philadelphia. We are literally taking this opportunity to restart and we're choosing what we are deeming safe. And I'm like, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to move to Philadelphia. We're going to hate our lives. I'm going to be working 3 different jobs. You're going to be going to school full time and working a job. We're barely going to see each other. It's going to be just like it's been the last how many ever years where we're working our asses off to not even be enjoying our own lives. And I'm like, I strongly feel, I'm like, I don't think we're supposed to move to Philadelphia. I think we need to cancel it. Like the moving truck was like, everything was set. And he was like, okay. And the next week we bought a freaking van. We drove out to Arizona. Like, so that was when there was a really big shift and I could tell something was, it was just like different. And then that.
Sorry. And isn't that interesting though? Like, I feel like, especially in our 20s at that time, something like that was very radical. Like, not doing something that was not quote normal.
Mm-hmm.
People were not doing that yet, or it was kind of like on the verge. Like now that would be so normal. People go after their dreams in such different ways now than when we were in our 20s.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's, man, I feel like it's just crazy to see that transition just with the world.
Yes. Even with van life, like when we did it, that was before
it was trending.
It was huge. And so a lot of times when I would tell people, they'd be like, you're living in a van. Are you guys okay? Like even the military, when Nick was doing his checkout stuff, they were so concerned.
What year?
I think it was like 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, it wasn't the norm yet. Yeah. So everybody was concerned. People were like, the van by down by the river type of thing, which I'm sure people still get. Like, that'll always be a thing, I feel like, for millennials. But it was just it was not normal at all back then. It felt very scary, but also just, like, in my gut, I was like, this is definitely the right call.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the conference too, one of the things they were like, if you think you're creative or if you have a feeling you're, this is what they said at the conference. They were like, if you feel like there's something you're supposed to be doing that you're not doing, but you don't know what it is, they're like, you need to call your mom and you need to ask them what you loved doing as a kid. And I was like, oh. And then I'm like, I don't think I need to call my mom for this. I'm going to try to remember. And I was like, oh my gosh, the only thing I wanted to do was be a film director. Like, I wanted to work in film. I literally have a thing that I wrote when I was 15 and it has a list of goals. And on there is film a movie. So, and I even went to a 1 or 2 week summer program when I was 15. I interviewed a director to ask them questions, but then somewhere along the line, and I have child books talking about how to make a video from like 2000, like from when I was 10. So like, this was something, it was the only thing I ever had a dream of, but I wrote it off because again, back then, back when we were 15, I mean, that was 2005. I don't even think YouTube existed yet. I think YouTube launched like the following year or something. So if you wanted to do video, you were either doing movies or TV commercials, or TV shows. It was all that. Very so true. To me, a girl from Minnesota, I was like, well, if this isn't a freaking pipe dream, and I was like, unrealistic, cut it out. And literally, I didn't think about it for years. It was like it had dissipated because even though I had remade How the Grinch Stole Christmas with my, like, I have so many things as a kid. When I look back, I'm like, oh, if you would have stuck with it at 15, like, imagine where you would be right now. But regardless, we all have those moments.
We do.
So I decided, I was like, oh, I really love doing video. I'm going to make a YouTube channel just for fun to like document van life, because this is such a like fun thing. So I started doing that, and I had friends be like, have you thought about doing this? Like, you kind of seem like you have a natural knack at this. I'm like, that's funny you say that, because it's actually all I wanted to do as a kid. And that just kind of snowballed into doing, like, I did a bunch of random shit. I did so much work for free just to try different things. My worst experience was with an influencer. However, she did bring me to a really cool party, the Revolve party for Coachella.
Really?
Ooh. Like, yeah, Kendall, this was before I, like, knew anything, but, like, Kendall Jenner was there, Snoop Dogg was there passing out joints, and I'm just like, what am I doing here?
Stop, Snoop.
Yeah, just an interesting time. But I worked with Pebby Forevi, who I still am with today. I did a shoot for her. It was for free. I had pitched myself to her. And afterwards, I'm like, man, working with brands is so fun, especially women. I'm like, if I got to do this all the time, this would be the freaking dream. Like, I was just lit up. Mm-hmm. But we had also done weddings. And then I was like, okay, well, like, this is just, I feel like this is the struggle for so many people. You always will be like, oh, I love this, but this is more realistic. So I loved brands. I loved working with women. But I'm like, well, weddings are easier to niche into. Because also, keep in mind, when I started video, video on Instagram wasn't really, like, reels were not a thing. TikTok was not a thing. So brands to invest in video was a little bit harder back then, I feel like, than now. But anyway, so we went into weddings. And me and Nick together, yeah.
What year?
I think this was like 2016, 2017.
So you're still in a van.
So he got out of the military. We moved into our van. We stayed like stationary in California while I was nannying and building the video business that Nick was also, he was like my second shooter, and Nick was going to college. Okay. So basically we would be like stationed in our little beach town in the van, like Monday through Thursday. And then Friday to Sunday, we would go out to different things and just explore, because that's the nice part about California. You can like literally drive 3 hours and you can be in the mountains, in the desert, at the beach. Mm-hmm. It's great. So a lot of people, when they see, or like my friends who have done van life where they like have stable income, they actually are like doing the van life dream where they're traveling around. I used van life as a thing to be able to like get us forward in life.
This was your home.
It was my home. Yes. But like, I think that's something to talk about, because so much of van life is really romanticized and like glamorized. And for us, while yes, there were things like, it was so great to be able to pull up to a beach and open our doors and like be chilling in our house at the beach. Mm-hmm. However, there's also a lot of unglamorous shit like peeing in a bucket.
Yeah.
Every night. Like, there's things that are not glamorous at all. Or it taking like 2 hours just to do like your shower and your bathroom. Like, just... So there were trade-offs. But mm-hmm. again, for me, it was like, okay, we are going to save all this money on rent and we can pursue our own thing versus yeah. us having to work 5 jobs just to make ends meet, because neither of us have professional skills to like actually make money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
you're building,
then I found out,
ability, and you're building your experience.
Yes. And I think a lot of people, though, they look at the van life and they're like, oh, just like chill and living the dream. And I'm like, no. Sure, for some people. Ours was a mix of things. Mm-hmm. But I basically found out from my nanny family, they were having their second kid, so I was going to be out of a job in 6 months. This was like soon after I had started. Like, we started living in the van. I started my YouTube channel. And I had only, like, I think there's literally like 5 videos on YouTube, because basically I just started focusing on building my actual business. Again, missed opportunity. Should have stuck with YouTube a little bit more. See, this is what I mean by it takes me forever to get to a point. So, no, Katie, no, whoever.
Yeah, you are. We're very.
I'm intrigued.
I'm booked.
Yeah, like, where does it take Natalie.
What next?
What next? Found out I was going to lose my job. And I was like, oh, shit. I have 6 months to make this business work. I have 6 months to replace my income with this business. And I did. I did that. And then I was like, I'm going to get Nick out of school. Because when Nick is in school, because he was in the military, he had the GI Bill. So you get a living stipend when you are going to school as under the GI Bill. So you essentially get like some money every month. So that was, going to school was his job because it did bring in some supplemental income. So then my next goal was like, you know, I actually do want to be able to travel a little bit more in California. Like it'd be nice to like be in the mountains for 2 weeks rather than a day or two. So then I was like, I'm going to get Nick out of school. Also, he hated it. He was like not doing well. Turns out he's dyslexic.
Stop.
Found that out a few years ago.
Oh.
Yes, he was in college and I was like, I don't know if you should be struggling this much. I feel like something's up. And he's like, no, your brain works at hyperspeed and mine doesn't. I'm like, no, bro, my brain does not work at hyperspeed. No. So anyways, he wasn't digging school that much because, again, he was going not for his dream. He was going because he was like, I need to get an education so I can be like a providing husband, right? Yeah. That was his mindset. So eventually I built a business to a point where I also was able to pull him out of school and be like, let's just do this full time. So we're building our wedding videography business. And the whole time we're building it, the plan is eventually to move to New York City. So future Natalie, or I guess Pat, whatever Natalie that was, she was like, I need to start, I need to actually go to New York first off, because I hadn't gone yet. And I need to start to figure out how to move our business from California to New York. So I went to a business workshop that was made for photographers. And that's when I discovered oh shit, one of the best things videographers can do is network with photographers, because photographers and videographers go together a lot. And if you create good relationships with a few photographers, they start to refer you. I didn't go into it with that plan. That's just kind of what I realized. But I was like, oh, that was a smart move on my part. And also, if there's any photo video people listening, there's a tip. So yeah, that is basically, and then God, I'm like, where do I even go from that? Okay. So I'm doing those things, trying to proactively think about the future. Then, so we're like, okay, we have about a year and a half left in the van, and then we're going to make our move to New York City. And we get the call that my husband's mom was diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer and had 6 months to a year to live. And that was when, in my opinion, shit kind of hit the fan. And I started to resent weddings very deeply. Because we found out that news and then we had to shoot a wedding the next day.
Yeah.
And stand there and film the mother son dance and it was just rough. And then we had to continually fulfill contracts for weddings when it was cool, we're going to these weddings rather than spending time with our family, which we miss some of we miss some family events because of weddings, and they're the last family events because we would have actually had the whole, it just started to become very aware that oh, weddings are not it for me. I started to resent them a lot.
Yeah. What year is this now? Are we in 2019? Would you say? Or is it 2018?
She died the same week as COVID. So this was 2019.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And the reason it's just because my run into you is right before COVID happened.
Yeah. And you came back.
Yes.
Then.
So we found out her cancer. Most of our weddings were booked in California, but I was like, I think we should move back to Minnesota. I guess we'll just have to cut van life short and we'll fly back to California for weddings. I'm like, but I feel like we should move back to Minnesota to be near her for her final year. And Nick was like, yeah. So then we moved to Minnesota in 2019. And the plan was we would move spring of 2020 to New York City.
Mm-hmm. I want to pause right here because I feel like this is such a good back and forth story of reality of life, mm-hmm. because I feel like I can relate to this of like realizing I hated what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I did the same thing. I quit my corporate job. I went and lived on a freaking, I was like, everybody's like, what are you doing? Are you okay? Like went and lived on a freaking friend's like blow up air mattress mm-hmm. in their living room floor so I could go to makeup school. Like they're like, I thought you had a good job. Like, why are you doing this? And you're starting to build your brand. You're starting to build your business. Everything is going really well. And then life happens. I've dealt with a big loss. Your family has dealt with a big loss. And it just kind of like resets what's important. But also it's hard because you're like, I was just thriving this mountain and it's like brought me back down. But there's a reason because it like redirects the real vision almost. Mm-hmm. So this is when I met you was a low point because you were thriving and then having to come back to Minnesota.
Not ideal.
Not ideal.
Yeah.
Dealing with the loss of your mother-in-law. And I know you guys also financially at that point were not in a great position either because like, well, we want to spend these last moments with her. Like there was some unexpected expenses that came, like everything just kind of like you hit a hole and you could have been like, fuck it. We're just stuck here. Mm-hmm. Like, but you got up and even like COVID was a slap in the face too, to the plan.
It was just, oh my gosh,
nonstop. Mm-hmm. So when I met you, it was kind of like, it was right before COVID mm-hmm. and we had all of us that, made that.
It was 2019. It was in the winter.
End of year.
Mm-hmm. A vision board party.
Yeah. That's when I met you.
Oh shit. You guys were there. That's right. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry, I'm thinking about some other people that, or I should say, I'm thinking of a specific person that was on that vision board. Uh-huh. That bitch. No. Okay, anyways, you can redact that if you want.
That's the next one. Next episode.
Coming.
But, so I guess to like fast forward you up, you went through all these hurdles. You're going through COVID. At this point, how long did you guys stay in Minnesota then before you finally we're like, okay, we're going to move forward now and move to New York and make like our dreams come true. So you went through these hurdles of some really big goals.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. So yeah, we moved back to be with his mom. His mom died the same week COVID hit. And we pretty much lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were like, well, there's no way. I had transitioned to brands the month before COVID hit. I had my like one page website for brands because I'm like, I'm going to start slowly transitioning into brands.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID hit the next month and we lost everything. It was the first year we were on track to hit 100K in revenue and it literally disappeared like that. It just friggin' disappeared. And we were like, well, the world is shut down. There's no way we're going to be moving to New York in 2 months. So I guess we're stuck in Minnesota.
Perfect.
Living the dream. Living the dream. Which was rough. I like really just, I'm not supposed to be in Minnesota. Like, no. I love the people there.
We know.
But yeah, I'm just not. Literally, I just don't think I'm meant to. So yeah, started doing brands. That started taking off. And I'm trying to think of, okay, Nick. This is also during this time was when I was like, Nick, what do you actually want? What do you want? Like, I'm thinking of like the notebook one where it's like him being like, what do you want? But it was the other way around. I was the one asking that of like, what do you want? Like, stop. I'm like, life is too short. What do you want? And he was like, you know, I've been thinking the same thing because that also happens when you lose someone you love very early. Like, she was very young. I think that also puts it in perspective of like, we're 30. She was only like 50. Wow. Like that's only 20 years away. You really don't know. I mean, you guys know how it is. We could die today. Like it just puts it in perspective of like, do I really want to be building something that I'm not actually passionate about? Like, I don't know. I just, life is too freaking short. Mm-hmm. So he was like, well, I actually always wanted to do film. And I was like, oh, dope. Okay. And he's like, yeah, so I'm kind of thinking of going to film school. And I'm like, sick. Yes. Do it on the government's freaking dime, dude, because normal education is not your thing, my man. So that's a great plan. He ended up applying to New York Film Academy, mm-hmm. went there, which is crazy because that's the place I looked at when I was a teenager. I was obsessed with that place. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And I'm just like, oh, weird. We like toured it. And I was like, this is the place I always wanted to go when I was a kid. Wow. So glad I didn't though. Watching him go through that program, I'm like, I'd rather go through just figuring it out on my own.
Yeah.
School is just not my thing. So that was kind of like our transition point of moving to New York was I started to like get a good footing in the brand world where I had consistent like income coming in. It was definitely very scary still moving to New York. And then, yeah, he went to school and finished up his GI Bill. So that was kind of what allowed us to make that move. But
and that
did
was,
that answer the question?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
So you're in New York now. You've been in New York since
2021, right? Because
yeah,
it's bad that we use COVID as like the measuring stick, but I'm like, COVID was 2020. Yep. 2021 was when we moved. Yes.
Yeah. I remember you moved like when things were not back to normal yet in New York.
Yeah. We got a dope deal.
Yeah.
And then they raised it.
Yeah.
And then $2,000 the next year. And here I am in Brooklyn.
Oh my gosh. And your brother and sister moved with you, right?
Yeah, I brought them. I was like, y'all need to get out of Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah.
Brought them with me.
New York. Get in.
Yeah.
So, okay. This is a great kind of wrap up because I feel like this episode is kind of hearing your journey. I think it's relatable to any person that's an entrepreneur or like feeling lost and trying to find their way. There's a lot of ups and downs with the journey. And how have you grown mentally and physically from the last 5 years, the person you were then to the person you are now? Like I met you in a low and you were a completely different person than I met you, but obviously we're going through a lot. And so I can visually see it, but like, you know, how are you feeling? How are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very weird to look back because even when I talk to people, I'm like, I don't know, do you guys feel this way? Like, I asked my friends the question of, like, when you look back on, like, past versions of yourself or, like, certain time periods of your life, I'm like, I look back and I'm like, I'm not connected. Like, I am connected to that person. And I'm like, but she is unrecognizable. I'm like, she mm-hmm. is someone who I'm like, we are not the same person. Like, that's how I feel about the past. Like, I feel like I've just had periods of time of like very intense growth mm-hmm. within like a 3-year window. That's happened a couple times in my life where literally I look back and it's very bizarre because this time specifically, I physically literally look like a different person.
Like videos will pop up and I'm like, who is this? And I'm like, wait, this is Natalie. I'm like, okay, oh my gosh. Like, how is this even the same person?
It's bizarre. It's super bizarre. It's even bizarre for me and it's me. And for those of you with no reference, I used to be super blonde and also like 80, 90 pounds heavier, like, which, you know, zero fat shaming for me at all. Like, but I will say during that time, I wasn't able to take care of myself. Like mm-hmm. I was so freaking depressed, exhausted, overworked, like so many different things. And so for me, there has been like a very obvious physical change. Like I moved to New York, lost a bunch of weight within like 9 months because of just like, you walk all the time here. Yeah. Like, and you can't get around it. You're walking.
Today is nothing.
And it's weird how being in a place that brings you happiness, even though you are stressed probably with your job, like any job is going to be stressful, mm-hmm. but you're doing what brings passion. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how.
And you've planted yourself in a place that you can actually thrive.
Yes.
I think people have no idea what they are actually capable of and who they could actually be. Because they just stay stuck in the same environment.
Guess what? Yes.
Right. Yeah. Whereas physically moving somewhere else, you could completely transform who you are just by being in a different environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will always remember Nick and I, when we lived in San Clemente, we were standing on the pier and we were like looking out and we would just be like, man, can you imagine like just growing up here? And like, this is your this being your normal. I'm like, I wonder if those teenagers and kids who just grow up in places like this, if they understand and like appreciate these places, because when you're from the Midwest, obviously these places are just like mind blowing. Mm-hmm. And both Nick and I were like, let's make a pact that we will always live somewhere that makes us feel in awe of our own lives.
I love that.
And that has been a driving thing for me. And I think it is very, very powerful to like, I would rather be poor and in awe of where I am because I was very depressed in Minnesota. Like there's something about it where I just like, it's just, I'm not meant to be there for whatever reason. And there's other places I go to where I truly feel just in awe, like gratitude, all these different things. And like, that is such a strong motivator. I don't even know if that's the right word, but it is very impactful. And yeah, so I would agree. I think people need to go for it more. Go for it.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And I mean, you're a great example of that. If anyone needs encouragement, like just look at you because you've done it and are doing it. And it's very cool to see. So
yeah. Lots of highs and lows. Lots of lows. But the highs are worth it.
They are worth it. And even just like what you've had to deal with legally.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, that's a whole nother podcast in and of itself.
We might touch on it.
Yeah. But you have like been through the ringer on pretty much every level. Family, like work, health.
But I will say all in the moment of those times of stress, like it feels like the world is coming down on you and you're like, oh my God, how am I going to get out of this? Mm. And then when you do get out of it, you're like, you've grown so much. Like it makes you so much stronger. And I feel like smarter too, to like, not have that happen again. Right. Mm-hmm. Or like how you're going to handle it next time it happens. I think for all our failures, it just makes us a lot stronger. Like I hate failures. I mean, we've had failures, we've had ups and downs personally and professionally, and it just, but you got to just keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always said I've gone through a lot, which I know we'll get into in the next episode. But I don't, and I'm sure, I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs who have gone through it, you guys probably feel the same. I am so thankful for the things I have gone through, mm-hmm. and I would not change anything. And I'm talking like this shit was awful, betrayal, legal shit, like there's so much. I still wouldn't change anything because it either led me to people that I was supposed to be in relationship with, or the resilience it grew in me was something that I didn't even know I was capable of, like going through something like that and coming out on the other side. Like I didn't know I had that in me,
mm-hmm.
which, yeah, I don't know if that resonates with you guys because
yeah.
I feel like that's a great way to like end mm-hmm. this episode is right there. Because so you guys, this is part one mm-hmm. with Natalie. Boop, boop. She gets two parts because this whole part I think is relatable to any entrepreneur, any person that's trying to find their way.
Mm-hmm.
Part two with Natalie is going to be all about your business, branding, videography, what you do to build brands and make mm-hmm. them stand out, and mm-hmm. what you do is amazing. And I think it will help any of our listeners, even other estheticians and beauty professionals, realize how important their brand is and how that will grow their business. And so we are going to end this episode and we're going to start with episode 2 in just a sec. So tune into next week's episode if you hear this one.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Skin Distillery Lounge. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share the love with fellow estheticians.
And until next time, Esties, stay growing.